Oh, yeah. It's Joe Crummy After Dark, everybody. Great to be with you, and I got my guitar. Where am I? I need a pick. Hang on for just a second. Let me just do a... This is the late, great Roy Buchanan. Get a...
I got a pick.
Anyway. Joe Crummy After Dark, of course, is a... A reason or a way to describe what I'm talking about now, After Hours, which is the tune we're playing right now by the late, great Roy Buchanan. It was great. After Hours, baby. Where we talk about stuff that maybe we wouldn't get to during the week because there's so much to talk about. Also bringing my guitar. Oh, yeah. We're going to shut down Roy Buchanan here, get down to the show tonight. But welcome to My Evil Thoughts. It's Joe Crummy. And let me stick this guitar aside for just a second. So let's talk about conspiracies tonight. You know, I mean, I've been promising you, if you're following me on Facebook, you can see that this whole thing in Syria, this whole thing with Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, I think we really need to admit to ourselves, this whole Russia thing. We love conspiracy theories. You know, when... Oh, by the way, that's the TV on in the background. But that's because, you know, this is After Hours. All right? I don't care. Yeah, I got my favorite station, CNN, on in the background. But I also got a little guitar with me, too, to combat the CNN. So I'm feeling all right. Anyway, so what were we talking about? What I hate about After Hours, when you get nice and relaxed, sometimes you forget what you're talking about, and that's not a good thing. We were talking about conspiracies. There you go. So the conspiracy thing is, you know, everything from Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump. Trump in so deep, right? Let's explore this. The Russians have Trump. All right, this conspiracy theory, and I think it's time we label it as such. You know, we've been labeling it as congressional investigations. We've been labeling it as reality. You know, a lot of things. But I think at this point we ought to go, you know what? I think that, you know, this has just been a lot of fun to do this, but let's move on. And once again, I've forgotten where I was. And I really hate when I do this to myself because we were really on a roll there. Conspiracy theories. That's right. Well, anyway, so... Let's talk about Trump being in bed with Vladimir Putin, and we love this. I think it's time we talk about it. Here's the point, that we talk about it as a conspiracy theory and stop pretending that it's some kind of FBI investigation because we're wasting our time. I will say, though, if you investigate somebody and enough people long enough, you'll find somebody you can hang on the cross. All right, I'll admit that, and I'm sure nobody needs it, man. I mean, maybe somebody deserves it, but I mean, I think we really need to look at this as a conspiracy theory, and that's cool, because this is After Hours. Hang on, everybody. This is After Hours. Yeah, and we'll do those things, but let's just at least admit that the Trump-Russia thing is like the fake moon landing now, which is fun to talk about, too. So, conspiracy theories. Okay, that Trump is in bed with Vlad. Let's just explore this. Okay, so what are we thinking so far on this? That Trump has loans maybe to Russian banks because he's a failed businessman or whatever he is, and they control him because they've got the money. Or the Russians control Trump because they have pictures of him in Moscow acting like a naughty boy with a couple of ladies who... need to go to the bathroom or whatever that was about. But I mean, that's the thinking about Trump if you're the conspiracy theory. And let's face it, the left, I mean, the Democratic Party, this is what you're talking about. This is your conspiracy, okay? That somehow there's a bank account somewhere. Trump's server, the Trump Tower, is being pinged by a Russian bank. I remember when CNN was wetting their pants about that. And now it is just whatever. All right, so anyway, I keep forgetting my place here, but you get the surveillance on Trump, which is just cracking me up. I mean, like, you haven't gotten anything, and if you don't have it by now, whatever. But anyway, so that's the thing about Trump. All right. Then there's a whole Syria thing that's just cracking me up. And I thought, stupidly, that Trump's 59 Tomahawk missiles into the al-Sharat airbase in Syria would show that he's not in bed with Vlad. I'm an idiot because, no, you got a conspiracy theory for that, too. All right. I mean, Trump can bomb Syria, which is a client state of Russia, and there's a conspiracy theory that explains that. And it happened almost immediately as soon, and I thought it was really funny. All right, let's talk about that. Here's the deal on that. That Trump knows, and so does Vlad, that the federal investigation into Trump is getting close. They're bearing down on Trump. They're beginning to get to the point where they realize they have the information, the goods, that he's in Vladimir's pocket. And so we need some kind of a diversion. This is what's out there. And so Trump is desperate for some way, and so is Vlad, for Trump to prove himself to the American public so they don't suspect him anymore and that the investigation magically, goes away as if it isn't driven by politics, which will never stop. But that's the thinking. And so in this conspiracy theory, it's about Vlad and Donald saying, look, I need some street cred, Vlad. Look, hey, in other words, Trump, either through Jared Kushner or some kind of weird back channel that the CIA can't tap, which is another thing that cracks me up. Okay, fine. These people play at a level, you know, if you and I even are beginning to talk about three-dimensional chess, the CIA plays, you know, six-dimensional chess. But whatever. So Trump supposedly has some kind of back channel with Vlad. And they're conspiring again, as is consistent with this whole conspiracy thing about Trump and the Russians and all that. And they're conspiring, and they're saying, hey, you know, they're suspecting you, so we need to stage, fake, some sort of thing where you stand up to me, and that shows, you know, I don't have you by the shorts, okay? So let's work something out. All right, well, we'll fake a gas attack. This is the thinking now. We'll fake a gas attack in Syria. And or maybe we'll do a real gas attack. That splits. That conspiracy theory actually splits in two right there. It's either faked, and we can talk about that, or they really did gas a bunch of people. But they were just using the people in any event as just cannon fodder. You know, these poor people in this village, we're just going to kill them. Maybe we gas them. Maybe we make it look like they were gassed and say it was gassed. As I said, that's a subheading conspiracy theory there. But, okay, so Vlad and Trump, through some kind of weird back channel the CIA can't trace, have a deal in order to fake out the federal investigation into Trump and the American public, make everybody realize, oh, of course he's not in bed with Vlad. They're going to stage this lame stunt, as I see some of my left-wing wacko friends are talking about, a stunt at some airbase in Syria that is meaningless, and that Vlad knew in advance and it was okay, and he said, you know what, that'll make it look like you're a big shot, Mr. Trump. So you go do that, and that'll throw him off the scent. That's a conspiracy theory right there. To me, that's the first one's boring. This one was boring. The one that I think is a little more interesting is the subheading that I was talking about. If you want to talk about subheadings, and that, if you recall, was the one about who is the one that did the gas attack, or was it really a gas attack, or was it faked? And if it was faked, then who did it? Because we know that whenever anybody presents evidence of a, quote, gas attack, unquote, all bets are off. So if you're kind of smart and you're like thinking the big picture, so to speak, how do we manipulate public opinion? You think the unspeakable, which is gas attack, okay, we stage one of those. This is the conspiracy theory that interests me the most. Who did it and why? And we can break that down, too. Let's just say we did it. Let's just say the CIA did it. The CIA faked it, or actually really did do it. Whatever. What are their reasons for doing that? Well, it could be that the CIA is working deep state, is somehow connected with the moneyed interests at the Pentagon. They want war. They make money on war. And the conclusion that it's not about human rights in Syria, it's not about it, it's about actually using these weapons and working and making money at war, because war makes money and has historically made money over the years. For I do believe my parents used to say that the way we got out of the Depression, which would have been when? 1940. 1930 was some in some perverted reason or whatever was because of the war, which somehow created value. I guess that would be what existential value. So they somehow figured a way out of the Depression and all the money that got blown in the late 20s or whatever it was, and they all got it back by getting shot in a war or whatever. I mean, if that isn't the weirdest thing, but if that's what it is, that's what it is. And again, I've lost my place in this stupid thing, but I mean, we're talking about conspiracies, right? So as I was saying, let's just say that was what the CIA wanted. You know, the CIA wants us to get into a war just for monetary reasons, because them and their contractors, they make money. That's a great conspiracy theory. You could have five reporters on that one, working on that one. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's just say it was, I mean, I like that one. Was it the Russians that did it? It's hard for me to, I guess it all comes down to that we did it, and we have a pretext. Or Trump did it. How about this? Trump did it because he needs a war. I've seen tweets like that Trump needs. I think Brian Stelter, my good friend at the New York Times /CNN, / Washington Post, whatever, / Huffington Post, connect the tail to the fanny there. There's a big circle, woo, just like that. I think he said that. I think that Brian Stelter said that it was that Trump needed a war. He retweeted a guy that had made some stupid allegation. In other words, Trump, the Russian investigation is bearing down on Trump. This is a great conspiracy theory. The Russian investigation is bearing down on Trump. And he's thinking, what am I going to do? Oh, well, let me start a war in Syria. Hey, you know, why not? That'll take all this crap off the front page. And so I think that's what they were talking about, that Trump needed a war. This whole thing is stupid. You know what it makes me think? That domestically, the fight between right and left, even though there isn't a very important ideological divide, it's really a philosophical divide. It's a political divide, but it's a philosophical divide. But when it really comes to international relations, I don't think it's about any of that stuff for the most part. I think it's really just about the money. And when it's about the money and it's about the power, I just think that information that gets fed to you and me, we are nothing but the products of the information that is fed to us. I mean, if you want to go deep and you want to go conspiracy, we are nothing but the input that we get from God knows who about God knows what. And it begins to make me wonder when we have something like a gas attack where all bets are off, And yet we seem to have this unspeakable violence toward human beings over and over again for months and months and months. And yet we seem to be able to tolerate that, but yet there's this tripwire, you know, it's gas. Okay, now we have to act. Excuse me for being cynical. But it makes me think, what is it about this? You're just as dead. It's just as awful. It's a terrible thing. But this idea that, okay, no more thinking about it. We don't know who gassed who. I'm not even clear who gassed who. Let's talk about that for conspiracy theory for a second. The general idea here is that the Syrian Air Force dropped sarin gas on this small village in northern Syria. The Syrians say we didn't do that at all. We were dropping bombs on some evil rebel outpost, and they had the sarin gas, and when we bombed it, it went off. I mean, who the hell knows what the real answer, what the real issue is? And then there are other people that say those people that you saw in the video, they'd been killed elsewhere and brought to the scene by some other actors with their own agenda. And you have to wonder, what the hell is the real story? And so we pick and choose, and we take the pieces that we like, a la carte. And that's how we make our decisions. And that's okay. I mean, if it works for you, and I think it works for us, it's all these things. The only thing I want to talk about when I talk about conspiracies is that we at least keep our mind open that on the international front, that it may be just about money and power and influence. And it's not so much about human rights and all these kinds of things. You know, when we think about Syria, we have to think about oil, and we have to think about Iraq that wants to pump their oil through Iraq and through Syria to the Mediterranean and then on into Europe. We have to think about these kinds of things. We have to think about Syria. If you think about it, you know, it's President Assad. The neighboring country is King Abdullah, our ally, and that's all great and everything. But here you have a secular state, Syria, and we want to take them down. And I'm sure they're not perfect. There's no question at all about it. But you've got to wonder, is this really more a fight about monetary influence in the region? In the region, I've heard that Syria really isn't tied to Wall Street. It's really tied to these, you know, evil Russia and elsewhere. They are secular in an area where you've got a lot of extremists and a lot of, let's say, fundamentalists, correct? Yet in Syria, that's not who they are. And that's an interesting thing, too, that you may not know. I'm just saying that all these conspiracy theories, when you think about the CIA, when you think about the NSA, when you think about the FBI, and the FBI is really more about a law enforcement criminal investigation system. That's really what the FBI is supposed to be, right? The Federal Bureau of Investigation. So that would be, you know, 100% domestic investigations, which would include surveillance, right, of subjects after receiving court orders that it's okay to surveil. And surveil, it means, I would think, everything, okay? whatever tools we've got, we're going to use them to listen and watch and track you. That's the FBI. Then you got the CIA. I mean, these guys are great. I mean, they're working internationally around the world, which is, that's at least three-dimensional chess. So you got the CIA who's out there. Then you have the NSA. The National Security, it's either agency or administration. You got an awful lot of people looking for information. Well, you know, it all gets down to the information that you take in, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's through Yahoo, however you get it, that the people that are in power need to make sure that you're on board and you support them, because if you don't support them, they have problems. So they're going to do what they're going to do, one way or the other. They're going to do what they're going to do. They just need to make sure that you get the information that they want you to get, so that you form the conclusions that they want you to conclude, so that they can continue to do what they do. That's the conspiracy theory. And as much as I bag on left-wing Democrats for their crazy conspiracy theories, we all love them. And when it really comes down to knowing exactly who did the sarin gas, was it really sarin gas? Was it fake? Was it this? Was it that? We really don't know. But what we do know is that we have people like Nikki Haley at the UN who stand up and say, hey, this has crossed that bright red line. That means all bets are off. That means we are prepared to do more. I mean, she sounds like she's reading a script, and I think she is. I suppose it came from a printer at the White House, that she's just there to sell it, and she does a pretty good job on that. But you just got to wonder. I mean, when there are wars, it's not so much me anymore, but it's the people that have to pay the price. You know, the large multinationals. They may pay the price in terms of their business may, be over for whatever reason. But when wars happen, it's the people that pay the price. If there really was a gas attack, or just barrel bombs, whatever they may be, shrapnel, chlorine, whatever it is, these just unspeakable things we do to people. Whenever that happens, it happens to the average everyday Joe. And in these tiny little villages in northwest Syria, these people are just, cannon fodder. And it's a sad thing to see. But that's conspiracy theories. Tons of them. No matter which angle you approach the issue from. You partisan wacko, you. It's Joe Crummy. These are my evil thoughts. What can I tell you? After hours, baby. Where we get a little loose. You know what I'm talking about? That's great. I want you to follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Facebook. But most importantly, I want you to rate this podcast on iTunes, right? Yeah, now that I think about it, forget Facebook, whatever. Your mom's on Facebook. I get that. But I need you to rate this podcast, all right? Evil Thoughts, go rate this podcast. Subscribe to this podcast, all right? So, and it's growing. It's really fun to do this. And I want to thank all of you. Every time I see the numbers, I can see who's or how many people are listening and all that. I see it grow, and I am grateful. And it makes me want to continue to provide you more entertainment than you have a right to expect from some crummy podcast. All right. Also, check me out on Instagram, too. It's Crummy Joe on Instagram. All right. So check me out on Facebook. Check me out on Twitter, too, as well. Turn up the music.